Welcome to Reinventing Professionals, a podcast hosted by industry analyst Ari Kaplan, which shares ideas, guidance, and perspectives from market leaders shaping the next generation of legal and professional services.
This is Ari Kaplan, and I'm speaking today with Ian Campbell and Emily Johnston, the Chief Marketing Officer and Product Manager for Incident Response, respectively, for iConnect, a developer of e-discovery software. Ian, Emily, great to see you.
Hi, good to be here.
Hey, great to be here.
Ian, tell us about your background and your mission as Chief Marketing Officer.
My background really started in around 96, 97, getting involved in legal technology in general with a trip to legal tech. But sometime around the turn of 2000, I developed a web front end for at the time, the Concordance platform. And it went from there. I initially sold into law firms and government agencies. That turned into a vendor channel as well. But my role within the organization has always been to evangelize. Some of the things we do meet the market needs. Some of the things that we do look over the horizon to look at where the market's going and look to develop technologies and workflows and really seamless integrations for people to be able to solve business problems. So we've been, as iConnect as an organization, we've continued to be growing since day one. And again, our key focus has always been simplifying data. Really the ability to take something that's a large legal case or something that's a large investigation or even a small investigation or a small legal case and really organize that information, make it searchable, make it sure you can tag documents to ultimately get to that subset, which is the relevant information you need to take your project to the next level or your trial to the next level, your legal case. Again, my role within the organization really hasn't changed, albeit titles have changed, but my role has always been to evangelize and certainly from a marketing perspective, making sure that we get that messaging out there in all the various ways, which of course have changed over time from printing a brochure and all, you know, having business cards all the way through to now having a very solid social media presence and really making sure that we can deliver our message in a very efficient way.
Emily, tell us about your background and how iConnect has adapted its platform to accommodate the changing preferences of its users.
I've been at iConnect now for just about a year, which has been a very fun year of changing the focus of my career somewhat. Prior to that, my career was divided into thirds where I was spent about a third of my time at large law firms doing e-discovery and privacy work, about another third at large companies, primarily banks, doing e-discovery and privacy work. And then for the last sort of 10 years prior to iConnect was at Epic, where I led a bunch of review centers, started out. And then about 2018, a bunch of our clients came to us and said, hey, we're starting to have all these business email compromises. Can you guys help us with the review of this data and the extraction of this data? It looked and smelled like e-discovery. So a lot of the e-discovery vendors were getting into that work at the time. And I raised my hand and said, I'd be happy to figure out how to do that for Epic. Since about 2018, I've been spending time trying to figure out how to do review for cyber, how to complete data mining, very frankly, using tools that weren't necessarily always the perfect tools for the job. And so when it came time for me to think about my next step after Epic, I really wanted to help build something from the practitioner's perspective that could help with making data mining more easily achievable for the sort of legal service providers out there. I'll tell you, my 5 years running cyber reviews, I saw more burnout, more mental health issues, just more overall struggles than I did in my previous 10, 15 years in e-discovery. And it's because we were being told, hey, here's a very difficult, very time-consuming process, very detail-oriented process. Here's a bunch of hammers, when what we really needed was like a sophisticated set of drills, right? So we just didn't have the right tools to complete the job. And so I felt pretty strongly that I was in a unique position, having done the work for so long and done thousands of these projects, to be able to build that. So when I was trying to think of where to go, I thought of iConnect, because we had some conversations about where their software was going, what kind of things they were doing. And I was impressed by the sort of creative spin. It wasn't just, how can your problem fit in my box? It was, how can we change our box to solve your problem? And so that was a more interesting and creative way of thinking than I was seeing in other spaces. And I was excited to come to iConnect to help bring some of that expertise to help build something that other cyber practitioners would be excited to use.
Ian, are you seeing a convergence of e-discovery and cybersecurity?
Absolutely. It's interesting. In the e-discovery world, we have seen ever since we started to see email in the early 2000s, the fact that it just keeps getting bigger. And size is a problem for people. When you start moving small things on a USB key, that's relatively easy. When you start moving around hard drives, even from one data center to another, that's complex. Not only to move it, but also to search it and sort it and organize it. I remember when we did the BP oil spill case, people were tagging somewhere around 900 million records as to be reviewed. And even that process, it certainly takes time. So you need to develop technology to deal with that kind of scale. The second thing is the diversity of data, I think, is unique. We, of course, now are seeing more and more video. We're seeing cell phone data. We're seeing chat and Slack, all those things, all the short message formats. And that's certainly challenging. We're seeing a lot of private data, which shouldn't be exposed either, even to the review team. So if you want to redact it or organize it in such a way that it's not going to be disclosed on the way in, during, and potentially even on the way out. And then finally, retention is a challenge. And how long do I keep this stuff? How, after my case is over, how do I archive it in such a way that if I need it, I can get it? But even corporations are struggling with the size and volume of data. We did a project for a client recently, and they were still on their hard drive somewhere. They had a whole bunch of voicemail recordings, which of course are quite large, from 1996. And it was, we still need this stuff, but we didn't even know we had it. We've gone and developed technology to help them understand exactly what they've got. Our technology, though, from iConnect's perspective, has always been focused on security. It's always been focused on a very pragmatic approach to reviewing and viewing a document, being able to tag it, so to identify things that are important or need to be categorized, and then finally reporting against that data. And then wrap all of that with artificial intelligence, because that's certainly a way to be able to optimize all of the things I just talked about. These are business problems, not legal problems nowadays. And organizations are struggling with, how do I organize and retain my data? How do I handle my private data? How do I manage volume? How do I manage diversity of data? And we've gone and developed technologies to work with all of those and really, really broadened the appeal of iConnect across more than just a law firm looking at using it for a legal case.
Emily, what lessons from e-discovery organizations learned in adapting to address cybersecurity challenges?
It's an interesting interplay, right? Because like I said earlier, the cybersecurity data mining looks and smells and feels a lot like typical doc review. You have a bunch of people in rooms, not in rooms anymore, a bunch of people at their homes often reviewing documents and trying to get data out of those documents. But really, the similarities are often only at face value, which I think it's taken the market a few years to really comprehend. There are a few things from e-discovery that cyber platforms need, that data mining platforms need, which is that sort of matter oversight that e-discovery platforms are really good at, the ability to parse and protect data or features for different sets of reviewers or different roles. That's something e-discovery software is really good at. The ability to handle really large sets of data really quickly is something e-discovery software is really good at. I think what we've had to do as we're building our tool, and really what others have been trying to do as well, is figuring out how to take all of those great things that e-discovery software does, utilizing AI to get through data really quick, that kind of stuff. And how do we translate that to data mining while still acknowledging that data mining is its own problem, right? E-discovery is what I think of as a data categorization problem, right? You have a whole bunch of documents, you need to put them into different categories, relevant, not relevant, privileged, not privileged, whatever. Cyber is a data extraction problem, which means that you're creating a whole new, at the end of the day, what I'm trying to create is not a set of documents. I'm trying to create a list of extracted data. And so my problem is a different problem, right? But I think that we can take some lessons from e-discovery about matter management, about matter oversight, about how can we use AI to, especially with new developments with generative AI and that sort of thing, how can we take those things and apply them to this data mining problem, which I think is helping to solve that problem faster, right? I was an early attorney right before there were e-discovery rules, and it was the Wild West, and we all had to figure out how to solve that problem. This feels very much like that, right? Where we're on the cusp of this nascent problem, right? Even though it's 4 or 5 years now, it still feels very nascent. Nobody has cracked it yet. And trying to figure out how to take the good from e-discovery, but also being able to leave behind what isn't needed, I think has been a really important turning point, right? We don't have to care about family relationships. I don't care about metadata for the most part when it comes to cyber review. These are things that are terrifying to most e-discovery practitioners, breaking families or not worrying about where a document comes from. But really, that's not what's at issue here. And peeling back the layers of what's important and what isn't, I think has been a really important part of strong cyber practices, strong data mining practices, developing their own approaches. And what we've hoped to do with the software is to continue supporting that, right? Of course, we focused on great, enhancing the things that iConnect already does, really good search term detection, really good AI application, really good PII identification, all of the protections and batching and all of the good stuff that iConnect does, but then included things like, how can we make extraction easier? How can we reduce the amount of manual effort required? How can we give people an insight into their documents, not just these documents have social security numbers, but here is the document in your set with the most social security numbers, right? How can we give insight into what states people are in so we might know what regulations are at issue? How can we do a great job using some of our smart learning from the e-discovery world to create that clean notification list at the end? So it's really finding the parts of e-discovery that work and being willing to discard the parts that don't, which has created an interesting cyber workflow.
Ian, what are some best practices for adapting e-discovery software to support adjacent disciplines?
Our software has always been very modular, and I think most people would understand that when you look at a piece of software, the part that you see, the UI, the user experience, the user interface, that's the part that's above the waterline. But much like an iceberg, there's a ton of stuff in the back end. One of the things that that our development team have always done well is really develop software in layers, which means in components, which means we can turn things on and turn things off. We also have a very unique worker architecture in the back end, wherein you can throw extra horsepower at different functions within the platform. As you can appreciate, if somebody wants to print to PDF, it's not a big deal when they want to click, they want to print their phone bill. It's a really big deal when they want to print 2 million recs. And so we have the ability to actually point CPUs at the PDF rendering engine for a period of time to get that project out of the way. If on the other hand, there's a whole bunch of imaging that needs to be done or a whole bunch of OCR that needs to be done because the documents came in, they didn't have embedded text. Again, we can point the workers or point the CPUs toward that piece. The whole plan there is to make sure that when Emily comes in to do a search, she doesn't get bogged down in that search because Ari is trying to render 2 million things to PDF. And I think that's the important thing for us, is to make sure that the software can function at multiple different levels at the same time. So those layers help us manage storage of data, memory management, state files, which means when I went in and I had my layout this way, and then I log out, when I log back in again, I want it to look like it did when I logged out. And being able to manage those kind of things, that stuff's all been it's been easy to move from our standard e-discovery platform over into cyber and also in our data governance offering. The other thing, of course, is the location of the data. We have a number of our clients who use our software in their own environment. It's behind their own firewall, managing their own stuff. We have an entire vendor channel where you can give your case or your project to a third party and have them host it. We also have a SaaS offering so that if somebody says, well, can you guys do it? I don't want to learn how to do the nuances of the back end. I just want to do my project. Can you just stand it up for me? We have an offering for that as well. And I think all of those things, from the optionality of deployment all the way through to security, the workers, and all the various components and layers within the platform, when we decide then, to Emily's point, we want to create a platform for cyber and incident response, we have gone and taken the core platform and said, boost that, turn that down, turn that up, turn that off, add a new function here and here, and voila, you now have a new user experience, which feels like it's laser focused on solving that business problem. But ultimately, what's running under the waterline is the core architecture of iConnect, which has been solid for years. And I think that's why we're going to be successful in this area.
Emily, how are development teams staying ahead of the rapidly changing technology landscape?
It's been an interesting new world for development teams, ours included. What our CTO is always saying is, how can we leapfrog, right? Do we need to keep doing things the way we're doing? How can we implement generative AI? How can we implement these large language models? And I think that trying to balance wanting to be on the cusp of new technologies with wanting to take a measured approach to the ways that technologies are changing and what that can mean for people's private information, what that can mean for copyright, what that can mean for a lot of questions that people are reasonably asking, bias inherent in the system, that kind of thing. So finding that balance between excitement about technological progression and a reasonable concern about, we are in the legal space, what will implementing this sort of generative AI and large language model process look like? And how can we combat against inherent bias, privacy issues, copyright issues, all the other things? So I'll tell you, it's a part of virtually every discussion that we're having these days. And it's requiring a lot of our developers to not just think about the coding of a tool, but also the implications of what that coding means and how we're building things and how that plays into our sort of current, the industry that we're in and all of that sort of thing. So I think that it's been iConnect's changing focus from e-discovery platform to data management platform, where now iConnect is not only doing cyber data mining, not only doing e-discovery, also data governance and a bunch of interesting things in the private, in the sort of public sector with government, has definitely been a shift for our development team, as it would be for any development team. But the excitement among the team and the excitement about the ways that technologies are changing has made for a really fun place to work.
Ian, how do you see e-discovery evolving?
It's interesting what Emily just said about every discussion involves AI. We've got a new tagline at iConnect that we'll be rolling out shortly, maybe in and around the time this podcast goes live, which is responsible data intelligence. We've always been simplifying data. We are now adding intelligence to data. We're now adding the ability for people to query the data in a different way, but we have to do that responsibly. And I've done a couple of sessions recently. I did two speaking engagements, one in South Carolina to the Defense Lawyers Association there, and another one recently at the University of Florida. And both of them were in and around generative AI and its impact on the judicial system. And that's what people want to know. How are you incorporating AI? It's interesting for me, though, we had AI in the platform in 2011, which is a long time ago now. But at that point, AI meant near dupe detection, email threading, conceptual clustering, conceptually find similar. And that was it. Now AI, the definition of AI has changed. And I'm going to say in the last 6 months, when you now say AI, people immediately migrate to think about ChatGPT. And so we've had AI, old definition, for a very long time. We really understand how to go and make that seamless for the end user, which I think is the trick. You can't have people bouncing, and we've seen this from our competitors, where they've gone and acquired an AI company, and you have to then go from this platform to that platform, and then back to the original platform. You have to move the data back and forth and actually to actually take advantage of the AI. That is not our goal. Our goal is to make it so seamless in the back end that, like you're driving your Tesla and for some reason it stays on the road, you're not really sure how it does that, but what does it? That's our goal, is to have that kind of an approach with AI and generative AI within our platform. And I think that's how it's going to go. But we are taking cautious steps toward the future. We know it's going in that direction, but we want to make sure that we manage that responsibly.
This is Ari Kaplan speaking with Ian Campbell and Emily Johnston, the Chief Marketing Officer and Product Manager for Incident Response, respectively, for iConnect, a developer of e-discovery software. Ian, Emily, thank you so very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Reinventing Professionals podcast. Visit reinventingprofessionals.com or arikaplanadvisors.com to learn more.